You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
The best reality check you can ever get in life is seeing the people that dating apps suggest to you.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is the Social Hour. On today's show, dating and relationship coach Melanie Verstrady. And now your host. The only relationship advice he ever got growing up was be sure to pull out. Dees Casillas.
Malib Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Dees. Thank you for coming back around for another episode. I know I've been gone for a couple weeks. We've been busy doing the promo tour for the latest comic book series, Kill Stan. So I am back with new episodes, though. I've got a couple guests lined up for the next few weeks. So you, if you've missed me, we'll get a compacted ass full of me for the next few weeks. I'll be around. You can find me again. We're trying to get this show back on track for 2025. Just been a busy few weeks between the book and the comedy tour. So we're getting it back in line, though. You got like 500 old episodes you can go listen to if you want to, if you miss me. So, but if you're listening to this the day it comes out, guys, I will be at in Houston, Texas tomorrow at Nets Junction. Check that out. I'll be headlining that show. That is going to be a killer lineup. There's a bunch of great comics from around Texas and Louisiana that are going to be on that. And I will be headlining that bad boy. So come on out to there. And then Saturday and Sunday, I will be doing signings in San Antonio, Texas for Kill Stan. Saturday, Heroes and Fantasies in San Antonio. And Sunday, the 2nd at Wonderland Mall in San Antonio, Texas. And then next weekend, the 7th and 8th, I have two stand-up comedy shows in San Antonio. Also be headlining those at the Overtime Theater on Friday the 7th and Artisan Distillery, one of my favorite spots in San Antonio, on the 8th, and a bunch more dates coming up. So yeah, guys, if you guys miss me on the road too, I'm coming back. I'll be, I got a bunch of live dates and more podcasts and all kinds of stuff. So I am back for you, baby. I've just been a little preoccupied, but you guys know what's going on. So anyway, we're going to get into it with our guest today. She comes to us all the way from Phoenix, Arizona. She's a love, dating, and relationship coach. Please welcome to the show, Melanie Verstrady. Melanie, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Even though you were very clear in enunciating your last name, I still got nervous. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna fuck this up. I'm gonna throw in an N-word or something and really make this correct. I'm gonna just absolutely just destroy this. But I got it, right?
You did.
Perfect. Thanks. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. So you said we were talking before we got on air. You're from Michigan originally, right?
Yes.
How long have you lived in Phoenix?
13, 14 years.
What you said warm weather, but what took you to Phoenix? Was it a guy?
No. Well, it was actually to get away from a guy.
Oh God. Yeah. You got all the way to Phoenix to do that, huh?
That's a long story, but in a nutshell, I was saving me and my children from my crazy ex.
Oh, okay.
In a nutshell.
Yeah. So, and off to Phoenix you went, and you found a home.
Yeah, I love it here.
Yeah. Did you live your whole life in Michigan?
I did.
Oh,
I did.
Man.
Yeah. And every winter I cursed that state.
Oh my God.
I was like, why? Why am I here? It's just pure suffering. It looks like death everywhere. The sun barely comes out. Why?
Yeah.
It's fantastic where I am now.
Where in Michigan?
It's like the suburbs of Detroit.
Okay.
No, I moved all over the place. My mom moved everywhere. And so, of course, I was with her. So, yeah. basically like the suburbs of Detroit.
I've never been to Detroit proper, but I feel like it seems like a nightmare.
It's a little scary and shady, yes. Yeah, even though they dressed it up a little bit.
Sure. But. Yeah, my favorite story a couple of years ago, it was probably maybe, I don't know, it could have been 10 years ago now. I can't keep track of shit. But it was getting so dilapidated in the suburbs of Detroit that all the houses that had been abandoned, the forest was just reclaiming them and regrowing through these houses. And then they've discovered that all these bears were like moving into these abandoned houses and just taking over. So you're like, oh, great. So you've either got gangs or bears.
Wait, is this an actual true story?
Yeah. This is like a real thing that happened.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah. It was a story, big story a couple of years. I can't, like I said, it could have been 5, could have been 10. Within the last 10 years, I would say. But yeah, a bunch of all the suburbs that are kind of abandoned around Detroit were just getting reclaimed by the forests, and all these bears were just deciding like, hey, this is a roof, huh? What is this, you know? What are the property taxes on this place? Let's move on in here.
So. That's hilarious. I know, I think his name is Dan Gilbert, the guy that owned like Quicken Loans. I know he went in and bought a ton of properties that like literally pennies on the dollar.
I can imagine, you know, I mean, there's just everyone, no one had any money left and everyone fled and it just mm-hmm. was just got annihilated. Yeah. But what was it like growing up in Detroit or Detroit suburbs?
Again, I will say the only reason I mentioned Detroit is because if I said Northville or if I said Macomb Township, people would be like,
what the hell is that? Yeah.
Where is that? Right. So
we're like the suburbs in Michigan. What was it like growing up? Because, I mean, you know, that's like I guess outside these people think of like wholesome Midwestern place, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really grateful that I grew up in the Midwest. I definitely think we're a little bit different than a lot. And, you know, you have, and again, if anybody's listening, I'm not talking shit about where you live. Okay. I'm just talking about my experience, but you know, we're more real, more authentic, less bullshit, less mm-hmm. tolerance for bullshit. Just you say how you feel, you mean what you say, you're not all like fake and I think we have a pretty strong work ethic. There's no like, truly, if you gotta trudge through snow and slush and literally negative 20 degrees to get your ass to work, like you're getting your ass to work. Like it doesn't matter if you feel like it, like you know it, right? So I love that, and I love the kind of just more like, it's more like traditional values kind of mm-hmm. thing, even though I didn't grow up at all traditional. I grew up really dysfunctional, but I feel I'm grounded, and I have a natural like integrity and I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I mean, it's like, first of all, it's like a heartier stock of people because of the lifestyle. I mean, there's just more obstacles, you know, more mm-hmm. just in general life with the cold and it's just not, you know, if you can wear flip-flops and board shorts all year round, it creates an air of you kind of take on that personality of just someone who wears board shorts and flip-flops. All you're real chill, everything's cool, you're not that worried about anything, which is good to a point, but also like, you know, doesn't come in handy when you have to like pay your taxes or something, right? You like,
yeah we do have a little bit of an edge to us. Yeah. Sure. And it's funny because when I first moved out to Phoenix, people were like, are you from New York or something? I'm like, why? Is it the edgy attitude that you're asking me that? So it's, but I think that edge, right, is just that authenticity, not trying to be the board short person, if you will. And so like the balance is both, right? Just like relax and maybe there's a little edge when you need your edge.
Yeah, what do they say? Like, people from the West Coast are nice, but they're not kind. People from like the West, the Midwest, or the East Coast are like, they're kind, but they're not nice. You know?
That's pretty. Yeah.
Like, you know, they'll tell you to fuck off, but they'll also help you change a tire in the middle of a snowstorm, you know?
That's so true.
Yeah. And yeah. Somebody from Seattle wouldn't even know how to change a tire. So you've got a real disparity of problems there. So besides the heat, I mean, what made you choose Phoenix? There's a lot of hot places.
Well, I had been there before, and I remember when I had been there, like, I don't know, 20 years earlier, I just thought it was so beautiful. The weather, I mean, so polar opposite of where I was from, right? Yeah. And the roads just smooth like butter. In Michigan, you're like, like potholes galore everywhere. You need an alignment after like 2 weeks on the road. It's ridiculous, right? And then this might sound weird to people, but the sky looked gigantic over here. Like, I could see the sky forever. In Michigan, you barely see the blue. The clouds are very low. And again, this might sound bizarre, but if you've never experienced something so dramatically different, it might sound naive and innocent, but like, I didn't realize the sky was so damn huge.
It's everywhere, it turns out.
It just like was smothered with clouds, and you barely got like a couple peaks of blue here and there, but not open, fully open, ever. Yeah. But kind of like how I hinted earlier, I had a crazy ex that really I was just getting the hell away from. And at the time in Michigan, the economy just collapsed. This was right around 2008, when literally the banking industry just self-destructed, right? And at the time I was writing loans as a broker, and just every day we're getting emails, this bank closed, this deal canceled. And you're like, holy shit, it's crazy. And then I hadn't gotten my bachelor's degree yet. I was going to school, and then I got married, and then I had kids, and then I was a stay-at-home mom for a while. So my ability to get the kind of career or job that I wanted was kind of limited at the time. And it's not like it is now. Now, like, entrepreneurial everywhere, and your degree didn't mean shit. But not then, your degree did mean something. So I had a hard time getting a job.
Yeah.
And so then I started to go back to school to finish up my degree. And so I was raising my kids full time, working full time, and finishing my bachelor's degree full time. And my kid's father just kept getting crazier and crazier and crazier. Like, I had 4 personal protection orders against him. He was,
oh my God,
nuts. And he had said to me, you know, I'm not going to stop unless you come back to me or I break you. And I'm like, neither is going to happen. Like, over my dead body, I will off myself before I ever come back to you.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know those are, and I don't take those words lightly. So at the time, I had 2 really close girlfriends who were just my rocks. And one was like my crazy best friend, and the other one was like my grounded best friend. She'd be the kind of person that would like kill somebody for you. The other one was the attorney, so she'd be the one to like get you out of jail.
figure out the loophole.
Yeah. So we were talking. They knew, you know, they were there for me through all of this, through the divorce, through the insanity. And I had reconnected with like my high school sweetheart, and he lived in Arizona. And I was just kind of like, you know, thinking out loud to the two of them. And the one who's the attorney, she was like, I see this as a great opportunity to get the hell away from crazy, right? And that, at the time, I didn't even think about it, right? But I knew that I was struggling financially.
Yeah.
He forged his W-2 so he wouldn't have to pay me child support. It was insane. And he got away with it.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. And so I'm struggling. lost my job, right? Because the economy crashed. At this point, I'm in my, I think I was in my mid-30s. I'm like, I'm not fucking waiting tables or like, come on, right? Yeah. Like I'm a mom.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta have some sort of stable income.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't be like doing that crap at like three. I have kids to take care of. So anyway, I started to send my resume out there, like everywhere in the country. And coincidentally, Arizona gave me like 3 job offers.
Hey, all right, kismet.
Yeah. So flew out, interviewed, got hired, and was like, crap, well, I can't come out here without my kids. So I went through a 3-day custody battle to get full custody of my kids because there's no way I was going to come leave them. No way.
Yeah.
So in that, the judge told my ex, you made this too easy on me. So that says a whole lot. And then off my kids are over here in Arizona. And I left that job because it sucked, but I found another job that was better. And it's been a crazy ride.
Crazy ride. Yeah, sounds like it. Geez. How do your kids like Arizona?
They love it. It's their home now.
Yeah.
You know, we moved here when they were, geez, how old were they? If I had to guess, 6, 8, and 10.
Oh, okay.
Or take a year or two. Yeah. So, and now they're, oh my God, they just all had birthdays. Okay, hold on. Let me think about it. Now they're 21, 23, and 25. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. How's that feel?
That feels crazy.
So are you still with the guy then?
No, we got divorced.
Well, no, your high school sweetheart that you reconnected with.
We got divorced.
Oh, you got married and then divorced. Oh, I see. So, wow. So, okay. So is this love and dating coach by, is this the thing where like, you know how like the, architect's house is always like the messiest house on the block? Is it one of those things where you're like, listen, I did all the crazy. This is what you should avoid.
I actually became a love, dating, and relationship coach through healing my own bullshit around relationships.
Okay.
It wasn't ever something that I intended to do. It was basically like the realization, the come to Jesus moment, if you will, where I feel like God was like, so smack me awake, bitch slap me. You're not listening.
Yeah.
and it was the epiphany of, oh my God, I'm getting divorced again. Divorce number 2. And literally the question, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Right?
Like that was the literal question. What is wrong with you? And it was an awakening is really what it was. It was a really beautiful space for transformation. Like I knew whatever it was I was doing had to end. Like this ends with me. I don't know, right? Like I'm the common denominator in this.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
Sure. I can blame both of them. Sure. They had, I mean, I already told you about Captain Crazy, right? It's like, they're both toxic, but like for your listeners, you'll keep dating the same person in a different body until you do the fucking inner work to change the patterns that made you get attracted to them and choose them to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just have a GED, but I do remember that in math that, you know, the common denominator. So, you know, if in these love equations, you're the common denominator, it turns out it might be time to take a long look in the mirror, right?
Right. And then that's exactly what that was. That was the long look in the mirror, right? It was like, okay, I could blame them for all of their tendencies, but I chose them.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, right? So what part of me is okay with choosing men who mistreat me and treat me badly, right? So let's get in there and dig out that motherfucker. Now I laugh because that's really how I felt at the time. It's not like that. You do feel broken though, especially you see these patterns in yourself and you can't help but to think, oh my God, but it's so much more of a powerful place than where we're at in our culture right now. That's like, It's their fault. It's the president's fault. It's the feminist's fault. It's the patriarch's fault. It's society's fault. So, like, that's not going to do anything. It's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I knew I also wasn't innocent in those relationships. Right. Like, were they way more toxic than me? Yes, of course. But I took it, and then I would give them toxicity back. And then I didn't speak up when I should have. And I, you know, all these things. And it's, again, when you can see the patterns, you have to be willing to change it, because nothing changes unless you change. And so that took me down this beautiful path of working on me like it was my damn job. And doing everything. I spent like over six figures easily.
Oh.
Working with coaches, mentors, guides, at anything possible that like my inner wisdom, my intuition, I felt drawn to. Try it on. I like it, don't like it, don't like it. Right. And then I'm like the guinea pig, because I was like, I'm never going to get in a toxic relationship ever again. I will never settle again. It's either the love of my life or it is no one.
Yeah.
Right. And in that, it was like this great unbecoming, because quite honestly, Deece, I didn't even know who the hell I was. And I was in like my 40s. Yeah. In your 40s, you got three kids and two divorces, and you're like, who am I anyway? What the hell? Right? So it was this beautiful journey of who's Melanie? Who is she outside of her roles? What did she come here to experience, to be, to do, to have? Who is she underneath those masks that she wears to, you know, to be loved, to not get abandoned? And it was just such a beautiful unbecoming, unlearning transformation. And then when I started to get on the other side of all of that crap and started to really feel in love with life, when I was just like, what the fuck, most of the time, when I felt inner peace and calm, when my nervous system was always like just tightly wound, right? Truly living in survival. That was pretty much my entire life up until that point. And then attracting kings when I would attract trolls. And even if I did attract good men back before, like, I would ruin it. I would sabotage it on purpose, because God forbid they figure out I wasn't as great as they thought I was. And then they'd rip my heart out, right? So all these things. And then really, this might sound really weird and cheesy, but it's the only way I can describe it. I just felt awake for the first time. I felt like I was in some kind of a soul sleep, or just like a zombie. I don't know. All the colors outside, like, nature got even more bright and vibrant. I just felt good. And it didn't even matter if I wasn't even in a relationship at that time. And before that, I lived for my relationships. Like, next boyfriend, next husband, somebody to fill up my cup to try to make me happy, which is complete bullshit.
Yeah. That's I think a big problem now, where it's just like these serial monogamists, where it's just from one thing to another thing to another thing without any time to breathe and get to know what they really need or want. I mean, especially like, it sounds like anyway, you know, from the timeline you're describing, I assume you were probably, with your first husband at a young age, probably married pretty early, kids, maybe high school sweethearts, or, you know, shortly thereafter.
No high school sweethearts. I was 21 when we met and he was 31. And because he was older, I had to have kids sooner. So I had my first daughter when I was 26.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, when you get into a serious relationship at that young of an age, it's like, I mean, you fucking idiots at 21 years old. Like, they shouldn't, I mean, we shouldn't be making any goddamn decisions at that point, let alone lifetime, you know, life changing, altering decisions. I mean, our prefrontal cortex hasn't even fully developed for men or women at that point, you know? So the fact that we could make a rational decision about that for the rest of our lives is, damn near insane. And people, they just don't take the time to explore what they want, explore who they are, and start to, you know, then you can be the best version of yourself for and attract the best person you're trying to find.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, you're conditioned to do what everybody does, right? You become a certain age, you get involved. It's like, oh, what's the next step? Well, we've been together for 5 years. Okay, we should just get married, right? Yeah. It's like, no, don't get married because you've been together for X amount of years.
Yeah.
Get married because you're deeply in love. Get married because like the sun rises and sets in that person, and it's, and you have shared values, and you have a shared mindset, and you know they're your person, and they know you're their person, and there's this reciprocation and this give and take, and it's a healthy love.
Yeah. Well, I also think that I'm also a proponent that no one should get married.
No one should get married. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, let me clarify this, because like I people, you know, there's what I mean by that is, first off, I don't think the government should be involved in anything in your love life at all, whether, you Great. Know, so anyone can marry anyone, do whatever you want. Like, but again, I don't think it should be like, I have to go get a license from the courthouse. It's like, fuck you. You know, what the hell do you care if I get a, you know, if I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this person or not, or if I don't, you know, I also statistically speaking, people who in long-term relationships who aren't married tend to last like it's like 80% more likely to spend their lives together if they never get married, but they, you know, the long-term relationships that are together forever, they just don't actually have that one pressure of like, hey, we did this ceremony and we signed this paperwork and now we it's like this extra weird layer that for some reason 50% of the time doesn't work out.
do you want to know my perspective on that?
I do. That's why you're here.
Well, one, they can walk away. Literally, they can just walk away when they're not married, right? So
right.
Psychologically, I think that makes them put more effort into the relationship versus we have some kind of weird mentality. And I think it's really just an old conditioned paradigm that's been going on for centuries, if not millennia. Once you're together, you're mine, and I can just let myself go. I don't get to put forth any effort anymore. We are bound, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a lot of antiquated ideas. I mean, like, we're also not, you know, it's not, we used to also get like a cow, like a dowry when the family goes married into another family, you know? I mean, it's just antiquated ideas that were, it's like, what the fuck are we doing in 2025? Where we're like, yeah, we got to sign this paperwork and then we pay taxes together. And then it's like, who gives a shit? What do you like? Just spend the rest of your lives together. You know? I mean, I'm not advocating against, you know, monogamy or long-term relationships by any stretch of the imagination. I think those things are very important. But like the whole legally bound contract is like a goddamn sham that divorce lawyers came up with to get 60% of your income for you know, however long or whatever. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, the good news, okay, what's happening now consciously in relationships, it used to be we did get into long-term relationships or marriage because we needed to, right? There was a definite need.
Yeah.
A survival need, really, for a while, especially for women. Like, we already know about that, right? And it also turned into this wounded need, right? I need you to make me happy because I don't feel whole or one or complete myself, right? So a lot of wounds, if you will, right? Now we're moving to a space of this, a lot of people are coining the phrase like conscious relationships. And it's literally a shift in us as humanity working and healing from those old patterns, those old toxic things that literally we took on from our ancestors, right? It just keeps cycling down the family until somebody ends it. And now coming from a space of now we're getting into relationships because we want to be with each other. I don't need you per se for my financial whatever or to fix me or whatever. Like, I'm good.
Right.
And I want to be with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a better space to be in where it's there's some parity. There's some it's just purely out of the emotional connection as opposed to some sort of primal need or we have this genetic propensity to procreate because that's what we need to do to keep the species alive. Like, there's plenty of people out there. We don't need any. We could stop making people for like a decade and we'd be fine. So maybe we should think about that. I'm gonna call my senator when I get off this podcast.
You do that.
Let's see about a sterilization agent in the municipal water system. We'll see. We'll see what we can work out. Just for a couple years, Melanie, not forever. think about how easier it'll be to get to in your work in the morning. They're just jamming up the freeway.
Come on now. You know we all have our own free will to do what we want.
That's true. I know. I kid mostly. So what's it like dealing with, because I assume you're probably handling all types of different people in this. What's it like dealing with the current dating landscape? Like, in a world of Tinder or whatever, that's probably an antiquated reference now that shows you where I'm at. Like, how many, like, whatever dating app people are using, or how just kind of everyone's like, there's another thing around the corner and there's always just a swipe away from the next thing. So it's so much harder for people to commit, coupled with this, propensity towards antisocialism now, but with social media and how people aren't as connected and spending as much time together, able to, I guess, just connect with people.
Yeah. What's your question specifically?
Oh, like, how does that, how is that affecting like the way you approach this or your clients, do you think, in a landscape with that, like that being the current reality? So, I assume when you got back in the dating pool and got back in this, landscape of helping people through this, things mm-hmm. have changed a ton since what you were used to.
Yeah. So I am unlike most coaches who have my title of like love, dating, and relationships. My primary effort with my clients or my primary goal is for them to do the inner work. Mm. I don't really give a shit about dating apps, to be quite frank. I don't give a shit about your profile, your bio, what's your picture look like. It's like those things don't change patterns, mm-hmm. right? So you can have the perfect profile. And if you haven't healed your abandonment wounds, you're going to keep attracting dudes or women who abandon you. It's just how it works.
Yeah, 100%. But like that I feel like there's got to be a lot of pressure, or maybe pressure is not the word, like curiosity, at least, when you're just a swipe away from someone else. Like, this is going okay, but like the grass is always greener and it's so easy to get to that potentially greener grass. How do you combat that?
I don't combat it because you're right, like, you are not giving me the answers that I want, Melanie.
There's no right or wrong answer. You're not going to win that car, but that's okay.
Because again, when we're doing that, okay, we are coming from a wounded space mm-hmm. still. When somebody has done a decent amount, and for each of us, it can be different, right? I'll just use the word decent amount of inner work.
Yeah.
Enough work with professionals, experts, where they have gone in and they've basically started to heal their hurts, right? Whether that's wounded inner child, whether that's trauma from an ex, it's They're all different for all of us, right? Then you are not swiping like crazy looking for the grass is greener because you know in your own self, in your intuition, your gut, your knowing, right? You're not, there's no fear in your looking for your person. There is only knowing, and there is only calm, and there is only love. And so you know, you are like a red flag detector. You're a bullshit detector. Your discernment is heightened. You're not looking for grass is greener. You're looking for that connection. That, and you're looking for this mind, body, soul connection. You're not looking for a quick fix. You're not looking for a hookup. You're not looking for that, again, that wounded, I have to fill this void with a body. You were like, it's that connection or it's no one. And you know it when you see it, when you feel it. You might not know it on like a swipe if you're like, you know, on dating apps. But I actually discourage my clients from going on dating apps. If they want to, I will support them. But you can find your person anywhere. Become the magnet. You're the magnet. You are sending out the signal, healthy, healed, come to me.
Yeah, I mean, no, it sounds like, it sounds kind of crazy, but I think it is true. There's something to be said about, you know, the energy you're putting out there and what that attracts back. And also, you know, getting out of your, kind of your particular, what did it say? Like your Overton window of what you do and where you visit and the people you talk to. You know, like I had a buddy who was a bartender forever, and he, you know, where we lived was a city where all the nightlife and bartenders all knew each other, and they all kind of had dated each other. And this, and he's like, oh, I just meet the same girls and everyone's dating each other. I'm like, because you're just going to the same bars. I go, take a cooking class. I'm like, I guarantee you're going to meet someone you don't know, you know?
Yes.
And that might not be someone get in a romantic relationship with, but it might be a spider web to another person, to another thing, to another event, to something else, and open you up to these, you know, these other people you're not used to. But I mean, yeah, if the scenario you're in isn't working for you, get the hell out of that scenario.
Exactly. And a lot of people talk about, again, it's just blaming the outside circumstances, and that's got nothing to do with it. Although we're conditioned to think that. But I live in such and such state and there's no people here. It doesn't matter. You can meet them on Facebook. You can meet them on Instagram. You become, again, this sounds so woo-woo, but it is just true. I proved it myself time and time again in my own body, in my own experiences. I prove it time and time again with all my clients. Once you do the inner work, really all you're doing is you're removing all the barriers to love.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds very simplistic. It's not that simplistic.
Yeah.
But there are beliefs, patterns, perceptions, false expectations that we have about love, about relationships, about men, about women. And what we believe, we literally create, we show to ourselves. So if you think all men are assholes, then you will keep attracting at men who are assholes.
Yeah.
If you think that you're going to be abandoned, you will be abandoned. If you are walking around guarding your heart because you got hurt too many times, you won't find love, because in guarding your heart, you're also guarding love. So it's, again, it's removing all of the crap that we unconsciously, subconsciously took on.
Yeah.
Like it stems from our childhood. It even stems from our ancestral lineage. It's not to blame. It's literally education. Like it's just an understanding and awareness. I know all of our parents did the best that they could with what they knew. And so, but it's, you know, and all of us have shitty experiences that happen to us, right? But when we become adults, it's our job, it's our responsibility to change that, right? To see the gifts, see the good. What did you learn from it? Who did you become? And not stay in this space that is so perpetuated, especially in our society right now, of like this victim. You're not a fucking victim.
Yeah.
Like, we're not. If you choose to stay there, nothing's going to change. But you're not. You're not a victim. You're super powerful. Like, we are literally God's highest creation. How are we victims? But if we perpetuate the old story of like, oh, this happened to me, and this is why, then really all you're doing is you're living in the past and you're perpetuating more of that pattern, of that perspective, of that belief. And you can't help but have this see, hear, taste, touch, smell reality reflect it back to you. So that's why it doesn't matter what apps you're on. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what you do outside of you. It's the inner game that has to shift.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it all starts in you with anything. And I think a lot of people, especially in today's world, it's very easy to shift the blame or not take accountability or responsibility for the things going on and just say, well, this happened, or XYZ, or my parents this, or I didn't have this opportunity as a kid. And, you know, I think accountability is something that we've really lost in all aspects of life today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the key. That's literally the key. It's like, just look in the mirror. It's okay, right? You got yourself into this. Now you can get yourself out of it.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not talking about awful things that happen as children. I know awful things can happen to us, but when you're an adult, don't let that old story dictate how you keep living your life, right?
Yeah.
Again, I could have lived in, there's all kinds of shitty things that happened to me as a little girl. And even as a young woman, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because as I reflect back and I started to do all this inner work, you know, 7 years ago, I saw the gifts that came from them. I saw how it literally molded me into a stronger, better, more resilient woman.
Yeah.
And you can't change your past. That's history, right? But what you can change is your perception of it. And that can change everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it really can. I mean, and that's a lot of, it does take time and it takes work. That's one of the, I think it's the hardest thing for people to do, is it just seems insurmountable, you know, where there's no long-term vision. And people have more control of their circumstances than they think. I mean, you know, this is like an abstract example, but when, you know, years ago, my car got stolen, right? I woke up one morning, my car had gotten stolen. And I called my friends, had some, you know, two of my friends, and to come pick me up. I'm like, hey, can you just pick me up? I got some errands to run. And we're driving around. And my friend Chelsea's like, you're really very calm right now. She's like, I would be freaking out if my car just got stolen. I'm like, well, I could be really mad, but my car would still be stolen. So, you know, whoever stole my car just wins twice, you know, and it's like, I would rather just go on with my day as best I can, given the circumstances. And then we'll see what happens with the car, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, thanks for sharing that story. Now you just inspired me to share a story of like one of my clients so people can put like real grit to these conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I won't name any names in my clients. I always keep their privacy. It's important. So one
Angela
of my
Angela Smith, she lives. No, I'm kidding.
one of my female clients, and this is common in a lot of women who come work with me. One of my female clients came to me because she's just over these crappy relationships. Mm. She had She'd been married before, got divorced, did all the things you're supposed to do, get married, have kids, start your career, blah, blah, right? The normal, like, American thing that we do. And, but before that, she had a dad who literally left her. So she had trust issues, of course, right? She finds herself in relationships that are just kind of just really unsatisfying. She finds herself having to be like the man in the relationship, take the lead, plan, provide, and she just doesn't. She doesn't really know any better, even though she's frustrated, she's annoyed, she's resentful. They're barely having sex because, like, you're not into somebody when you're feeling like that.
Yeah.
Then, so it's no surprise that they got divorced. They had two kids together. They got divorced. They were like roommates, really. They were just roommates tolerating each other. Then, like I said earlier in this conversation, you'll keep dating the same person in a different body until you do the work. Yep, here comes bachelor number two. And now she thinks he's too good for her because she didn't have the greatest upbringing. So that gave her like low self-esteem, and she hadn't gotten a degree. And so she's thinking I'm lesser than, and he's all of this. He's decorated and in the military and so accomplished. And who am I? I'm a nobody and he's a somebody, right?
Yeah.
So she unknowingly puts him on this pedestal. And but he's the same kind of guy as her first husband, other than that part. She's having to plan. She's having to be in more in her masculine. She's having to lead. She's still working. That's nothing to do with it, but like it's kind of part of the picture. And she's frustrated. And then she gets sick. And although for both of these men, there's red flags like galore. I don't care what anybody says. We see the red flags. We just lie. We lie to ourselves and we tell ourselves some bullshit. So, but they're there. They're there.
Yeah.
So she sees the red flags again. But this she could not deny. And this is what made her actually come to me. So she got diagnosed with an illness and he was emotionally unavailable. He didn't even show up for her. And she was like, I am done with you. I am done with this. I don't know what's going on here with me, but I need some help. And so at the time, she probably saw an ad I was running for like a workshop in Facebook, attended my free workshop. And she told me, these are her exact words, okay, Deese? She told me that she got more out of her time of working with me than she did in 30 years of therapy.
Oh my gosh.
In our time together, she started to love herself. Excuse me. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you again.
Yeah, thanks.
She had confidence for the first time in her life. She felt like literally lit up with just a zest for life.
Yeah.
And she had never had that, right? She started to get healthier again. She started to attract better men. She moved into her dream house and she was in a crappy condo for 18 years. She was in sales. She got a job as like a VP for like a new company. Like everything started to change. And then she attracted the love of her life too.
Yeah, look at that.
And it was because we did the inner work.
Yeah.
So part of our inner work was something a lot of people don't understand. It's like some of that was like masculine and feminine energetics because she was so in that I don't need a man vibe that she was like a repellent.
Yeah.
A good man, the kind of man she would really want who would show up for her, who would lead, who would plan the dates. So we healed that, helped her understand her own feminine energy and then embody that. We healed the wounds around her dad. We healed the abandonment wounds and she was like living another life.
Good to go. Yeah. I mean, you start at the root and, you know, people are just plugging holes instead of band-aiding stuff instead of actually treating the symptoms. So
exactly. That's why I told you I give shit about your freaking swipe on your dating apps. I could care less.
So, Melanie, are you having more female clients, more men? Is it a good mix? What's age range? Are you dealing with younger people, older people? What's your common?
Yeah, it's normally 40 and up. Mm. It's like the common denominator is life had to kick them in the ass a couple times.
That makes sense. Yeah.
They're like, hold on. I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. took hard learners, right?
Oh, we are so stubborn, aren't we? Or so stubborn, but it's okay. I mean, that's how we're built. That's like humanity. It's like something has to hurt enough or challenge us enough for us to just take a pause for a minute, right? Because we're on like this hamster wheel. Do, 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 do. Checklist, 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 checklist. We're like on this autopilot and we don't even pause. Take a breath.
Yeah.
And then things like that force you to pause and take a breath. And then you start to self-reflect. And then you're like, all right. I got to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about you? What do you look for when you are approaching it for you? Do you take your own? I mean, you got to take your own advice. What do you look for?
I'm an embodiment of my own advice.
There you go.
That is the only way. I do not teach what I don't already do and know.
There you go.
No, integrity is super important. Well, what do I look for? Well,
Yeah, what do you look for? What are the signs that you're it's going well, or that it's something that may work? You'd pursue that type of thing.
It's interesting. I am very introspective and coaching myself kind of a person, even though coaches still get coaches too.
Yeah, yeah.
When I got clear, right? So that 7 years ago, it's a long answer to your question.
That's okay.
I got very, very clear of who I didn't want and who I would no longer tolerate, right? Which that's important at some aspect.
Absolutely. Knowing what you don't want is a great start.
Yes. And I didn't want to have anything to do with anybody for a period of time. And I didn't put a period of linear time on it. I just knew that I would know how I felt like within me, right? Because I didn't trust myself to make good decisions anymore because clearly I didn't know what I was doing, okay? So I knew I had to shift some patterns, some whatever. And at the time I didn't know. I had no idea, right? So I just started to follow my own wisdom, my own intuition, got really, really curious. I am super persistent, if I want something, I will figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like I'll research the shit out of something until I get out of it what I want. And so that's what I just started to do. I just started to research things and understand things and then work with experts who knew and just understanding more and more of me, right? And then when I started to feel better, more trusting of my own decision making, right? Then I started to date. And then I was like, I got to get clear on what kind of person I want, right? Mm-hmm. I know who I don't want. Who do I want? And that's important for people to understand. I think a lot of us just kind of accept what comes to us. And that's why we settle. And it's like, and then there's like red flags and there's deal killers, but then we'll talk but they're this and they're that. And I really like this. And their potential bullshit lies we say to ourselves.
Yeah.
You cannot fall in love with their potential. You have to love and accept them for who they are right now. If there are any deal killers, you need to walk away or you need to have a conversation about it. Because they're not going to change for you. And who are you to expect them to change for you also? Right? You're not. Like, come on, right? Who wants that? But we do that. We get into relationships like that, right? So I had to get clear. What are my non-negotiables? Right? And these are the things I share with some of my clients. I'll share with like your listeners. This should be non-negotiable. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. These are like dating 101. If they don't meet this little teeny bit of criteria when you start dating, walk away.
Yeah.
Walk away. These are no-brainers. Okay. First one is financial independence. You're not looking to be a sugar daddy or a sugar mama. No, 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 no. And for any of your sugar babies out there, get your shit together, okay? They're not there to be taken care of by somebody else. You can do it too, okay? So financially independent just means that it's the way it sounds. They can take care of themselves financially. They don't need your money or your financial assistance.
Yeah.
Right? Next one, healthy. I think it's another no-brainer. But again, healthy. Mind, body, soul, healthy. Another one, attractive. Attractive to you. You, not society, not your boys, not your besties, not mom, not dad. You. It only matters what you think of them. So much of that stupid shit out there.
Yeah.
Kind. That's, again, sounds like a no-brainer. Kind. Not nice guy. That's different. That's passive, right? Not people pleaser. Kind. Another one is caring. If they're a huge bitch to the waiter or the waitress, they're not very caring.
It is so funny you say that, because literally in my head I was just thinking as you're talking. I actually broke up with a girl one time because she was always rude to the waitresses at restaurants, and I'm like, this is a little microcosm into your reality and how you treat people.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah. if that's a bridge too far to be, you know, just be like amicable to this person that's just trying to, you know, take your order.
Do their job.
Like, you know, and like, I get it if, you know, a waiter's being a dick or something and, you know, there's like an issue. But if it's just like everything's fine and you just can't even... You know, I'm like, that was like a red flag for me.
For sure. Another one, again, should just be a no-brainer, is happy. Are they just a naturally joyful, all on their own? Most of the time, I'm not saying you need to walk around being all like, what's it? False positivity bullshit. I'm not talking about that. Yeah. Like genuinely a happy disposition most of the time, right? And then if you're into personal growth, if you're working on you, if you're looking to be the best person that you can be, they have to be into that too. You cannot be dragging somebody along on this journey. It is miserable. It's not your freaking job. You're not here to save them. And you'll probably just end up breaking up anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hard one too. So,
yeah. So those, all of you listening, check off that list.
Yeah.
Those are your must-haves. Walk away. I don't care if one is missing. They're all must-haves.
They seem pretty simple. It seems like that's like it should be a no-brainer on those. Like that's like that's not even a checklist. That's like the pre-checklist.
You would think, but it's not.
Yeah.
It is not. It isn't. And again, we're just not clear on what we want. And then so in that, right? So with my clients, we create this together and then I have them now for them personally, which is all very individual. What do you want in a person? What are the qualities, the characteristics that are important for you? Mm-hmm. And get clear on that, right? Then you have this perception of this person, right? You might not have an image and that's okay, but you have a feeling, an overall feeling. What does this person feel like? Mm-hmm. Right? Then when you start to date, it's way easier.
Yeah.
It's way easier. You're like, nope, nope, nope. You want to talk about like swiping, right? You read their bio. It's like, hold on. There's some crap out there that my clients have shared with me that I just die laughing at. They're like, you won't believe what's out there, Melanie. I'm like, oh, please tell me. It's hilarious. They're like, if you're a Trumper, don't even bother. I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with people?
I bet there's a lot of that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, or if something about vaccinations, don't bother. All this, and I'm like, you guys are just eliminating your chances for a beautiful connection. So anyway, you know, that. So to answer your question about me personally, I had to get clear. I had to get really, really clear. And then as you start to date, right, you set your intentions. You have, when you've done the inner work, there is no more fear of being abandoned or not good enough or those things, although they can come up a teeny bit when you actually get into a serious relationship. As you're dating, your expectations change, right? Your discernment changes, your awareness changes, your vulnerability changes. Mm-hmm. And you become a far better picker, sorter, and selector. Or before, maybe your picker was broken. Your picker is like top notch now.
Yeah, it goes way off kilter. The divining rod is not divining.
Exactly. So then you date and you notice, right? And you're not, I don't know. If men operate like this, I've never been a man in my life, but like inside
there's still time.
inside of me, and maybe it's just because it's part of who I am, I notice patterns like that. I maybe should be a detective and like work for the FBI part-time or something. I don't know. But I pick up patterns in different things in people like right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I will notice what I'm noticing, right? And like somehow mentally I'm like a little right? Like, don't really like that so much, but it's okay. It's not a deal killer. We'll see. Right? But I'm not in the past, it would be more of like, oh, I can fix it. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, you like lie to yourself, right? I'm like, no, I'm noticing what I'm noticing. I'm not killing this, but if I keep seeing similar patterns, I'm not going to lie to myself because I know what it means.
Yeah, you know where that road goes.
Yes. And it's not that I don't have conversations either. Let's talk about things, right? Very open in communication. I'm not like pointing. I'm not like, oh, hey, by the way, you know what I noticed when we were at this restaurant? Like, I'm not doing shit like that. There's no like criticizing or anything, right? But if it's something that would be a deal killer, right, that maybe did hurt my feelings, then we're going to talk about it.
Mm.
And so you just realize that you are, each person you date, I want all your listeners to start to do this, okay? Each person you date, when you're on your way to finding your person, look at the gifts with each one, even if they're not a match, right? Yeah. Because you both called to each other. Your souls both met like halfway. This isn't a happenstance by accident. No, this world is nothing is by chance. So both of you were called to each other. What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about that person? And then how can you be a better version of you? Maybe you weren't that great of a listener. Maybe you were kind of a jerk and you didn't really mean to be a jerk. Who knows, right? It doesn't really matter. But like, what were the gifts? What were the lessons? And then what did you like? What didn't you like? And what you'll often notice is that there are connections that you have with people that they have qualities that you didn't even know existed because you never experienced it. So you don't know what you don't know until, you know, maybe you thought, oh, I wouldn't like this quality in a husband or in a wife or in a partner. Yeah. But then you meet somebody that has this quality and you're like, I love this quality now, right?
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's being like more open-minded in that, way more open-minded. Like have your list per se, but make sure it's like a list of like characteristics, qualities, not necessarily a superficial list, right? And be open to even better, even more. And so what I started to notice within me was that as I applied the things I already know and like teach my clients as I applied to me early on, each guy I dated got better and better and better. And it's so cool to see it like unfold. And you're like, okay, the next one's going to be the one, right? And in it, when I did meet my person, I was like, holy shit. It's like mind blowing.
Yeah.
Just how profound the connection is, just how much more it is than you ever thought possible. It's like something that I always said to myself when I was wanting to call in my person was, it's all, you know, it's like basically God, like, you know who I want. But I got clear too, because I didn't know who I want, right? So that's why I put your listeners through that exercise. I had to get clear with who I want. Now that's on my heart, right? Bring him or someone better or even more, right? Because again, you don't know what you don't know. And if you haven't been around, if you're a woman and you want a healthy, loving relationship with a man, and you've never been around a good, solid, healthy example of a man, you don't even know what that looks like.
Yeah.
You don't know.
It's like Bigfoot.
Yeah. And same with the guys. Wait, what'd you say?
So it's like, it's like Bigfoot. It's just like there's some mythical cryptoid running around the Northwest somewhere. You don't know if they're, if it's real or not. You've seen blurry footage, some documentaries on A&E, but nothing substantial.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the unicorn too, right? Yeah. So it's like, you have to get clear, right? And then know, just start to drill it in your head, work with the coach that can help you. I don't care what you do, but start to like, know they will come, and then follow your leads, follow your intuition, follow your gut, stop listening to the shit talker in your head. They're just going to talk you out of stuff. You know, we all have that. Call it your intuition, call it your higher self, call it God. I always say my intuition is God talking to me. So I listen to that inner knowing, that inner whisper, that one that normally doesn't even make that much sense. And it's like simultaneously you'll hear, like I like to refer to like the egoic monkey mind or whatever is like the shit talker. It's like simultaneously you'll hear the shit talker, don't go there. There's nothing there for you. And then your intuition is more of like a whisper. And it's like, make a left and go into the bakery. Right. And you're like, you're driving along. Maybe you're just going to like the grocery store. You're like, I don't need to go to the bakery. There's nothing there for me. Just listen to the, I know it's kind of like a ridiculous thing, but you get what I'm saying.
Oh yeah. No, there's, Oh. That's all good advice. Okay, people. Well, everyone, every listener should be married within the next 6 months. Or
come work with me. I'll help you get there.
That's right. So, Melly, okay, as our resident love, dating, and relationship coach, I just gave you that title, resident social hour love, dating, and relationship coach. You're the official spokesman for the social hour now. I'm going to ask you a couple rapid fire questions. So don't have to think about it too hard. Just whatever comes to your mind, just some dating relationship stuff. Okay.
Let's go.
top three. I love that you're ready. You're always good. I love that. Top three red flags.
Oh God. All right. But for a man or for a woman?
Oh, let's go both. That's interesting. Yeah, good call.
Okay. Red flags for a dude dating a woman.
Yeah.
If she doesn't let you pay the bill, get the door, or treat her like a lady. Red flag.
Okay.
Okay. She's too much of a feminist. She hates men, and she thinks that you're trying to make her powerless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Another red flag, this can go for both. They guilt you into, like, they guilt you, shame you, manipulate you into doing something for them. So in other words, they'll use something that you've told them in privacy, in trust, against you as a weapon.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Another red flag. Hold on. There's so many.
Whatever comes to mind, like I said, it's okay. There's no wrong or right answer.
They're unwilling to apologize when when they're wrong. Mm-hmm. They're unwilling to take accountability, responsibility, and they don't change their actions. So if they're like, so on the opposite of that, right? It's like the person that does say, oh, I'm sorry 10,000 times, but there's never a change in the behavior. Sorry doesn't mean shit, yeah. Right? Doesn't mean anything. So, or like I said, on the opposite side, they did something that hurt you. You had a conversation about how it hurt you and they didn't take responsibility for that.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Okay, is that three? I think that's three.
I think that's three.
Okay. You touched on this a second ago. Who should pay on the first date?
The guy.
God, that is very un-2025 of you, Melanie, but okay.
Well, I am not here to be that modern feminist boss, babe. Nope.
What about on the second date?
Okay, here's my whole thought on that, okay? We live in an age where women can make money now. So it's mm-hmm. no longer like that old survival thing of like women did not make the money and the man always had to pay. But I know that men who are more traditional, mm-hmm. we'll just say traditional, they still believe in the protect and provide. Mm-hmm. And to them, provide is money. Now, once they're dating for a while, I still say second date is still the guy. I still say it's the guy, but it doesn't hurt for the woman to be like, if they're into each other, hey, you mind if I leave a tip? Mm. Is it okay if I like get you lunch or I think what guys want is they just want the offer. Yeah. They just want to know that you're not like taking advantage of them and you don't just expect it, but that you actually appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And then most of the time, the man will be like, no, basically, I don't want your money. No, yeah. Right? But like nicely, of course. Your money is no good here.
Yeah, okay, good advice. Yeah, I think I agree with you. do you believe in love at first sight?
I had love at first sight with my babies when they were born.
Okay, but that's different. Unless you're in a very specific genre of you porn videos, that kind of love does not apply. But yeah, okay, it is good to know you didn't want to drown your babies. you didn't want to Casey Anthony your kids. That is good.
This conversation just took a dark turn.
I'm glad you love your children, but yeah, like meeting a potential significant other, do you think love at first sight exists, or do you think it's just lust?
I think that you can meet someone, okay, and you can just know. You might not feel the love yet, mm-hmm. but you're like, that's my person.
There's something like, there.
It is them. Yeah, you can feel that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What do you think is the best first date? What should you do on a first date?
Should just do something fun.
Okay.
Fun. Whatever, like, talk it amongst the two of you. Do something fun. Do something that's playful, that's light. Like the typical, right, is like, go to dinner, go to the movies. Like, that's so boring. I mean, it's fine, but it's boring. You can't even talk to the person when you're at the movies anyway.
Yeah, movies is a terrible idea.
And you don't go to a bar because it's so freaking loud.
Yeah.
There. So just whatever the two of you can mutually agree on, that would be fun, playful, light.
Yeah.
Just like make it light and easy.
Okay. Yeah, I like indoor skydiving.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Go-kart racing. Crash the shit into each other. I don't care.
All right. How long should you wait until you fart in front of your significant other?
Oh, my God. Please don't ever do that.
Never? Never, ever?
I have never intentionally, I use that word specifically, done that. On the occasion one accidentally slipped, I was mortified. Sure. Absolutely mortified.
Yeah.
But you know what? People can just do whatever they want. For me, I want to keep the romance. Okay. If we're doing that, we're kind of like turning into brother and sister. Like, no.
I mean, I'm not saying like hold you down and fart in your face. I mean, like, you know, we're not talking about, I mean, you know, like you're comfortable enough to like, you know, it's going to happen. It's all natural.
Yeah. I say just don't. That's just me though. I'm like, I want to keep the mystery, the romance, the seduction, the intrigue. There is nothing sexy about a fart. Okay.
Some people are into that. Okay. Sexy. That is also a genre on YouPorn that a lot of people are into. I guarantee.
Oh, well, that's a whole nother realm I don't even know about. And I don't want to know about.
What is your best piece of advice for new couples?
Don't let your friends or family get in the middle of your shit. Mm-hmm. It's none of their business.
Yeah. What about best piece of advice for old couples?
They already know what they're doing.
Do they? Older couples have been around for a long time, get divorced too.
That's true. That's usually because they've entered that like comfort zone. I have to stay together because what would they think?
Yeah.
Or maybe they outgrew each other. And they're just staying together. So they're not actually really in love with each other, but they're still together. There's like this sense of comfort that they're afraid to lose.
Yeah.
Right. You get used to that person.
Yeah, that's true.
So either fix it or get the hell out.
There you go.
Because like you deserve to be in love and to live a beautiful life, and you have this one, and that's it.
That's it, as far as we know, anyway. That's what I'm told. So, all right. Well, Melanie, I appreciate all the great information. I'm going to put this to use, and hopefully, it helps me and all of our listeners. Tell people where they can find you, follow you, get advice from you, anything to connect with you if they want some more information.
Yeah, sure. So the name of my company is called The Wild Heart Life, literally just how it sounds. thewildheartlafe.com. You can follow me on Instagram. I am Melanie Ristretti. Facebook, I'm Melanie Ristretti. Google my name. You can find a bunch of stuff there too. Little bit of stuff on YouTube. I need to get better on that. Yeah, that's everything. So if you want to like talk to me, work with me, everything will be on the actual website. If you just want to follow me, find me on social.
Great. All right. Anything else before we get out of here?
Well, yeah. One more piece of advice.
Yeah.
Just stop being so damn serious and have some fucking fun.
There you go. Well, now you're talking my language. Not too much fun, it turns out. The cops will be called, guys. So to a certain extent, it turns out. But good advice. So, guys, make sure you follow Melanie. Reach out to her if you have any more questions or if you think she could be of service to you. Most of you listening to this show probably need her advice greatly. So if you follow me, you're a degenerate piece of shit. Go talk to Melanie. So that's it again, guys. Otherwise, go to deescomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. Live dates, live shows coming to a town near you. Also, the crowdfund campaign for Killstand number 2 is still live for a couple more days, so you can pre-order your copies of number 2 now if you haven't already. And then, yeah, that's it, guys. For Social Hour, I've been Deese, and for Melanie, thank you very much, and we will see you all next week.